soccer fans. This is Nick back with the Feed the Fire podcast, and we're talking all things Chicago Fire and Major League Soccer. And this is now Neymar Watch in Chicago. What has started as a meme, a joke of bringing the Brazilian star here to the men in red, has actually turned into confirmed reports that the club is having talks with Neymar to bring him stateside. And yes, it is that Neymar, the Neymar of Brazilian fame, their top goal scorer and one of the biggest names in global soccer of recent history. So we're going to talk about all of that. We're going to talk about, do we really want Neymar on this team? What are the pros and cons, the advantages and the drawbacks? And I'm sure everyone's thinking, what drawbacks would there be to sign such a star? And there are some, and we're going to get into it. But first, let's just put a little context behind all of this and some of the transfer dates that we need to keep in mind as we look at what the Chicago Fire are doing to build their roster. So the primary transfer window is January 31st, Friday, to Wednesday, April 23rd. So that is a long period of time which they can bring in new transfers. You can still sign a free agent at any time, right? But the roster compliance deadline, though, is Friday, February 21st, one day before the first league match. So really, if you want to have your team set for opening day, you have just 3 weeks, those first 3 weeks of February, to officially sign and bring in your new transfers. And, you know, the club has been in negotiations, has been in talks. So we're going to have to wait for about two more weeks here to see if these actual transfers, where their players are under contract with other clubs, you know, those deals get done and they can sign and come into MLS. So it's going to be kind of on pins and needles here to see what players the Fire will bring in, though we've got a lot of buzz and we're going to go through all the different players that the Fire have been linked with lately. Website Transfer Market, Neymar's contract runs through June 30th of 2025. So the Chicago Fire would have to pay some sort of transfer fee to his current club and would have to wait until the official transfer window opens on January 31st here. My mind's going five different places right now as I'm getting excited to talk about these potential signings. So they would have to wait until then to officially announce it and get the deal inked and have the official transfer come through. So we are going to have to wait for that official announcement. But as you know, things are official before they're ever official. And something to keep an eye on there, Fire fans, with the transfer windows and what the fees might be. But let's talk about this. Let's talk about Neymar possibly coming to the Chicago Fire. Now, we know that Chicago, Miami, and another MLS club that has not been named are in talks with Neymar. I imagine it's LA or New York City. Those are the teams with the funds right now, the Galaxy or even LAFC possibly. But I don't know if he fits LAFC's mold of finding designated players who, you know, will stay for a couple, 3 years, you know, between like that $2 and $6 million fee, you know, as opposed to Miami, who's just like, here's $20 million, Messi, come on down. And I think that's what we'd be looking for more here with Neymar coming to MLS. It's also possible he returns to his boyhood club, Santos, down in Brazil. And, you know, there's always the realm, I haven't heard anything, but there's always within the realm of possibilities that some other club comes in and makes a major play and swoops him at the last second. But it does seem like Neymar is motivated by money. I mean, who isn't? Which player isn't? You're negotiating contracts. You are going to be motivated by money. But I do feel like he is motivated more by a sense of the contractual dollars, the salary dollars, than he would be motivated by any other perks that he would get by coming to the United States and playing in Major League Soccer, endorsements, quality of life, you know, where you can raise a family, etc. Also, it's been rumored that Neymar's father is pushing for a contract even bigger than Messi's with Inter Miami, which would be more than $20 million in salary and other incentives, sponsorships, etc. Now, just comment on that real quick. That seems like a negotiating play. I don't think anyone is going to look at Neymar and say, okay, we're going to value you more than the Messi contract. Messi is the greatest of all time, the greatest of his generation, the biggest name in sports in the world. And he came immediately from major clubs in Europe to Major League Soccer. Neymar has lost a little of that Q rating. He's lost a little of that that being in the public eye, a little of that media presence because of going to play in Saudi Arabia, and also because he's been injured. And we're going to talk about those as well. So it seems like this is just a big negotiating ploy where they're trying to see what clubs are going to bite at a more than $20 million contract and kind of negotiate from there. I really don't think he's worth a $20 million salary right now. But speaking of money, it's said that the deal the Fire might offer to Neymar would be similar to that of his current club. And that's, again, that's just what's being said out there. If they are going to lure him away from his club in Saudi Arabia, are they going, they're going to have to come up with something similar to his current salary. But he's making $100 million a year, give or take a few million. Right, I think his contract was something around $217 million for 2 years. So if he's got another 6 months left on his deal, that's $50 million that he's going to want to see guaranteed with part of this contract. Now, I'm sure Major League Soccer and the Chicago Fire and other clubs are like, I think it's silly to throw $100 million or $50 million in contract and guaranteed salary in a contract. But I think what they'll probably end up doing is looking for something, you know, in the $15 to $20 million range. And then what other incentives can the league give him? What other sponsorships can they get him? What other business deals can they get him? What percentages of jersey sales, season pass subscriptions, international season pass subscriptions, season ticket sales to Chicago after he officially signs? What percentage of all that can go to him to get him towards that $100 million per year value? And, you know, what partners in the league can, you know, throw some sponsorship deals or free things at Neymar to get him to come here as well. So there's ways to work it. The money should be there one way or other, whether he wants guaranteed money or incentive money, sponsorship money, whatever it is. So the question remains now, Fire fans, do you want Neymar to lace up the boots for the men in red? Well, on the one hand, of course we do. He is a global star, one of the greatest players ever, Brazil's all-time leading scorer, one of the best being from Brazil, right? He'll still fill stadiums, bring in new fans. He's definitely going to improve the play on the field. I think he's still got it, even as a 32-year-old winger. I think he's still a high, high-quality player should he come over to Major League Soccer. And if you want to just look at it as an upgrade from the team, of course, we're not going to look at it as we just need an upgrade. We're not going to pay $20 million just to upgrade our wing position. But think of how Neymar is going to come into the league here. Right now, your wingers on the Chicago Fire roster, Chris Mueller, Marin Haile Selassie, Philip Zinkernagel, possibly Brian Gutierrez if they move him to the outside, if they sign a center, more central playing midfielder, right? So those are your wingers. Neymar surpasses all of them easily. Also, if you want for comparison's sake, who was on the roster at the end of last season? Fabian Herbers and Ariel Lassiter. Those guys definitely aren't going to hold a candle to Neymar, even at 32 years old. But who do you see Neymar comparing to around the league? Is he going to be, just let's look at the LA Galaxy, the MLS Cup champions. Is he on par with Gabriel Peck and Joseph Paintsil? Is he on par more so with an aging Carlos Vela? Is he on par? I'm trying to like think of some big wingers in the conference. Is he going to be like a Diego Rossi? Is he going to be like a Christian Ramirez, thinking of, you know, Columbus Crew? Is he going to be more of a player like a Thiago Almada was for Atlanta United? Like, where is he going to fit? I think he is, and we're going to get into his health issues, assuming all of that, I think he is on par to be a top 10 player in the league and elevate the Chicago Fire team from trying to get into a 7 seed in the playoffs to can they be a top 4 team in the East. Again, we got to fill out the rest of the roster and see, you know, one man is not a team, but yeah, that would be a huge upgrade, not just for the team, but for the quality of wingers in the league. And as I mentioned, you're not just going to sign $20 million player just so you can be a little bit better on the wing. The problems here are the drawbacks, and there's on-field and off-field problems. On the field, Neymar, he's injury prone. He has an injury history. Most recently, he's been hampered by fitness issues and a hamstring injury, causing him to miss most of the last 3 months for his current club in Saudi Arabia. The biggest concern is that he tore his ACL in October of 2023 and missed a year getting back into shape. That ACL injury, that can slow you down a step. Is he still that explosive, dynamic winger that we think of? Is he still as good on the ball, technically? Because if he's not blowing by players anymore, which would be a little bit more difficult, he's still got some speed to him. But if he's not blowing by players, is he going to be able to use his technical ability, that Samba style of Brazilian football to dance through players? Can he do that, you know, a year and a half from an ACL reconstruction? Additionally, he's had multiple ankle injuries and adductor injuries going back a number of years. So the concern is, are we going to spend all this money? Are we going to put all this hype into a player who only plays maybe half the season? Well, Miami did it with Messi and they won a trophy. Will Neymar put the fire into trophy contention? Maybe it might. I mean, we certainly saw the Messi effect in Miami. Now, they did bring in his friends there, Messi and co, right? Suarez and Busquets and Alba. And maybe they're trying to build now around Neymar a little bit, or getting Neymar as a central player in the attack here. That could elevate a lot of different things the way that Messi coming to Miami did. So that is... that's the trade-off and the drawback. Even if he is missing, you know, a couple of months for injuries or whatever the case may be, he is going to have a positive impact on the club, much the way that Messi did. And of course, we know he wants to play for Brazil in World Cup 2026 here in the United States. That could be another reason why he wants to come here, to get to know the soccer landscape, to get to know the stadiums, to get to know some of the players he's going to be matching up against in World Cup and World Cup qualifying. So those are all potential reasons why he would want to come here, but also the injury drawbacks. But here's the downside that a lot of the fans are worried about with a player like Neymar, coming to the Chicago Fire. Number one, ticket prices are going to skyrocket. Now, I'm pretty sure season ticket members are kind of locked in, and I would imagine that a lot of the season ticket prices are locked in, but the secondhand market is going to go absolutely ballistic. And if Neymar stays here for a couple of years or so, that is going to increase ticket prices league-wide, similar to how the Messi effect did, but it's also going to increase Chicago Fire season ticket memberships. Now, we didn't see much of an increase this season, and I think some season ticket holders actually got to lock in prior prices if they committed before a certain date. But if Neymar comes, you know everything is immediately going to go up. You also are going to see a continuation of the new season ticket policy of designating games as tiered games. You know, last season they were all the same, and then you had exclusions on the Miami game with how you purchased, rolled over, or transferred tickets. Now for 2025, the Miami game is considered a diamond level game, I think, or platinum level game. You've got three or four gold level games, and then the rest are silver level games, and you can pretty much do whatever you want with the silver games, especially with season ticket memberships, transferring tickets, rolling them over. For gold level games, you can only transfer within the gold level. If you're going to transfer up from silver, you have to pay the difference in price. And those gold level games, it's LAFC, it's San Diego, was it Cincinnati as well, I think? I can't recall. But those are the big names. I think those are the three. And then obviously the Miami game, the diamond or platinum game there. So you're going to see modifications to that. You're going to see prices go up. You're going to see more restrictions on the tickets, and obviously a huge increase in the secondhand market. And so fans are worried that they're going to get priced out, and they're going to be, you know, I've been here for 20 years or however many years as a season ticket holder. Now Neymar shows up, all of a sudden I can't afford my tickets anymore. So that's one of the gripes. The counterpoint to that is, well, that's a good thing, kind of, from the club's perspective and from the growth of the game and the club here. Like, we want to have the hottest ticket in town. We want to have everyone coming here and seeing the Chicago Fire. But I agree with the growth aspect to a point, because I don't want this to turn into a Miami or LA scene, not just talking about soccer, where all it is celebrities showing up to games, and celebrities are buying out boxes and suites, and then that bumps kind of some of the corporate aspects, or maybe the big corporations are buying out boxes and field side seating and, you know, 100 level close-ups and things like that. I still want to be able to take my kids to a to a bunch of games each and every year and actually enjoy the game atmosphere and not just have it be a celebrity catered kind of event. So on the one hand, I would be willing to pay a little bit more for my season ticket package than what I'm paying now when the Fire do improve and they're a better team and they're in trophy contention. I am there. I do have a line. I do have a hard stop where, nope, that is outside of my price point. And then I'll have to just look at like 3-game packages or something like that for the future. Also, I think if you're going to start pricing tickets much, much higher, you're going to see a drop in other sales, whether it's apparel, whether it's concessions, you're just going to see people focusing in on ticket prices. Now, we've seen the Blackhawks add in a drink and a concession item with some of their ticket packages. That might be something the Chicago Fire have to consider to provide value, but I will give the Chicago Fire credit. Over the last couple of years, they have done a lot to increase the value of a ticket to their matches. So I think they will, if history suggests, if trends continue, they will find ways to take care of their season ticket holders and their fans in some fashion or other. Now, the other downside people are talking about already is, oh, there's going to be fake plastic fans that show up to Fire games. We're not going to have MLS fans. We're not going to have even soccer fans or Fire fans. We're just going to have Neymar fanboys who want to show up and see him play. Okay, fine. That's great. Bring them into the stadium, fill the seats. Let's then retain and turn some of those fans into Chicago Fire, MLS, and American soccer fans. Like, this is the chance for fans to show how passionate we are in Chicago and to build a bigger and better fan culture. Not to turn away others who want to come to the game, but to welcome them and show them really what Chicago soccer is all about. So look at the positive. Maybe I'm being too positive. Maybe this is a new look for me and being a Chicago sports fan. Maybe I'm looking on the sunny side too much here. But I absolutely understand why fans would be worried for a player like Neymar coming to the club. However, I think at the end, it is all going to be a net positive if they can get him to sign here. Let's see, what other notes did I want to talk about this? The one other thing about having other like non-Fire fans show up, the Chicago Fire already is a pretty good away day destination for a lot of clubs in the league. We saw it especially with Columbus last year. They packed in their away allotment of tickets and number of other clubs as well. Because I've talked to some fans in the parking lot. You know, they come to Chicago. They'll come on a Thursday or Friday. They'll go to a Cubs or a Sox game. They'll go to the Fire game on a Saturday. They'll spend, you know, the morning or in the afternoon around Museum Campus, go to the Fire game in the evening. On Sunday, they'll go out for some nice restaurants, take in a show, whatever it is. You know, you can make a long weekend, you know, 4 or 5 day even if you want to, in Chicago with all the things we have to offer. And you can throw in a soccer game for that. So it already is a destination for away fans. Obviously, with Neymar here, that would just amplify things 100-fold. Also, I think Neymar coming, despite all these drawbacks that are out there, I think it would help the league grow as well. We've already seen an increase in young talent coming in with under 22 initiatives. We've already seen with some of the DP initiatives, bigger name players. We've gotten away from the retirement league label and getting some players still in their prime or towards the end of their prime. But getting Messi was next level for Major League Soccer. And that kind of separated MLS from a lot of other leagues, like the Saudi League, like the Chinese League, like some of the lesser European leagues, because he chose to come here towards the end of his career. And he's gone from major club to major club and had success at every club and at every level. But now we've got to continue that. Messi is still, he's not in his prime, but he's still a prime player. Right. And we saw him bring Suarez, who was coming off a great season in Brazil and coming off a great career. We saw him bring in Alba and Busquets, who are towards the end of their career. So bringing in Neymar will continue that trend of star players who still have a couple, 3 years of about prime play in them. And that will only encourage more younger stars to want to come to MLS. So this isn't a messy flash in the pan. Now we got to go back to start signing washed up veteran star players and big names to sell jerseys, that it can actually be a consistent signing of major stars in MLS, encouraging younger players to come, encouraging Americans as well to stick within MLS. Or if they can't get in MLS, to look at, USL or other academies and clubs overseas as well. It's all a big cycle of development and growth, I think. So that's what I would say why Neymar, you know, coming in would help the league still, and why we should welcome that as MLS fans. The one other thing people have started to see, I haven't seen this too much on social media, but I've seen it enough where it's out there and I want to address it, that, you know, Neymar is a diva and all he wants to do is come in and party and he wants all this money and he's injury prone. This is a bad look for Berhalter. They're putting this on Greg Berhalter as the manager and director of sport of the club, that this is a bad look for him to want to sign this 32-year-old injury prone diva who just wants money and to party. I would wager that Berhalter would not sign any player that didn't fit into his culture, the culture that he's trying to build in Chicago for the long term. We've heard him talk about that for a long time. They don't want just to be relevant for the next 2-3 years and then have to rebuild again. They want a sustained pipeline of success, international recruiting, domestic recruiting, academy style recruiting. They want to have a culture that will last for decades, establish something here. And is Neymar big enough and expensive enough to for him to be like, you know, we can, that's the asterisk. That's the one exception we'll make. I don't think Greg's that guy. And I don't think Mansueto's that guy either to make an exception to what they're trying to build and sustain success in the long term. So I think really anyone that's taken shots at Berhalter for wanting to sign Neymar is just venting some of their USMNT frustration, and they're still just trying to get the clicks and get the views and have a voice in this conversation of boo Berhalter. Like, I think it's a pretty poor look for anyone who's saying that it's a bad look on Berhalter for trying to sign Neymar. And by the way, no one was arguing it 2 years ago when he came in to Saudi Arabia. People were talking about Neymar coming to MLS. No one is saying like Miami is stupid for trying to sign him. Like, it's just focused on Berhalter trying to sign him. That's where I think it's just a lot of sour grapes and a lot of stuff, anti-Berhalter stuff coming out again. If you ask me, I think it'd be great. Let's sign him for all the reasons I've said. Let's bring him in on a 2-year deal. You know what? Let's overpay him if we have to. If he's going to end up in Miami or LA or New York or somewhere, let's overpay him a little bit to get him here in Chicago. Now, if he says, I'm going to go back to Santos, or maybe some team in England is like, hey, I will pay you a lot of money to come, you know, hang out in England and just be a name for us, sell some jerseys. I doubt that would actually happen. But, you know, if there is another club maybe in La Liga that wants to throw a boatload of money at him, or some, like, you know, struggling Italian club that wants to throw him a boatload of money and just have him live the life of luxury in Italy for a while, maybe you don't want to compete with that. But if it's him saying, I'm coming to MLS, I just don't know which club, then fine. Let's outbid the other MLS clubs, get him into Chicago, and let's turn this roster around and turn this club around. Other reasons, okay, that's the Neymar talk. We're done there. Okay, but other reasons we can turn the club around even without Neymar, and I think this is another fair point too, that people are saying we can do it without Neymar. We can achieve all of our goals without the spectacle and circus of Neymar, because the Fire have been linked to some really good players overseas, and it's great to see them actively pursuing these wonderful players. I've had the impression that the Chicago Fire have kept their targets in transfer windows and in free agency very close to the chest, that you really aren't getting a lot of leaks. You're only getting news when it happens. Now, that could be the fact that the prior front office didn't have that many targets, didn't really know how to go about that kind of a business, and that's why we weren't hearing it. But we've heard a lot of players being linked with the Chicago Fire just in this first couple of weeks of 2025, and it's either deliberate to generate a buzz, or like I said, maybe just in contrast to the prior front office, it's a different way of doing business. But I think it's great because I can kind of compare it to maybe college basketball recruiting, where you know that the star is going to go to Duke, but he ends up taking a recruiting trip to his hometown school anyway, to the local state school, whatever it is, just to kind of pay respect to them and for them to kind of make a buzz around their recruiting and maybe get some of the 3 and 4 stars to look at them more so because that 5-star looked at them. Who knows? But it's a great way to generate buzz. It's a great way to maybe bring in some interest overseas from other players, as well as, you know, consumers of the game as well. But it's also great in kind of getting this buzzing. Like you're hearing me. I'm a little excited here too myself, talking about these potential players that have been linked with the Chicago Fire. And who exactly are those players? We'll run down the list of who we've been in talks with or linked to. There's Jonathan Ikone, a French winger at Fiorentina in Italy's Serie A. Now, he also has an offer from Paris FC. They are a League Two team in Paris, so second division, but he's a French player. He would be going back home. He would still be on the radar of the French national team. He does have a handful, I believe, of call-ups to the French national team, so that could possibly persuade him there. However, I bet he could make a little bit more money coming to the Chicago Fire as potentially one of our designated players as a winger. And how amazing would that be to see like Zinkernagel, Ikone, Kuipers, and Neymar all taking the pitch together? That'd be pretty fantastic. And I'm wondering if a lot of these players are waiting to see what Neymar is going to do, if they can get a vibe on that before they agree to anything in principle, like a pre-contract with the Chicago Fire. So Jonathan Ikone was probably the biggest name prior to Neymar being linked with the club. Also, we've talked about Gaëtan Perrin, a French winger who is currently with League One club Auxerre. There's been discussions there. I think that one is probably the most likely deal to get done if a deal of these speculative names does get done. Also, there's Janier Montiel, a Colombian forward. He's currently playing with a Colombian second division club, Internacional de Palmira. Again, looking to maybe add a little offense. If we've got Kuipers, if we've got Pereba, and we've got Barlow, maybe you slip in Montiel there, or maybe move Barlow, possibly. And there's some new rules that are going to allow the Fire some more flexibility. We'll talk about that in a second. You're seeing it all over South American social media. David Ricardo, a Brazilian center back who's currently with Ceará Sporting Club in Brazil's Serie A. So another Brazilian recruit there. Also, Anders Dreyer, a Danish midfielder, currently with Anderlecht in Belgium's top flight. The reactions to this link have been mixed. People are saying that is a fantastic, fantastic move. The Fire would love to get him. He's a great attacking midfielder. You could move Gutierrez on the wing or have them both play together centrally. And other people are saying, well, Anderlecht is really struggling. This isn't the right guy to go for. So remains to be determined. The jury's still out on whether Dreyer would be a good signing. And then also, we're just starting to see some talk of Raminga Kouame, a Mali international, born in Ivory Coast, but is declared with Mali to play for them. He's currently playing in Spain in La Liga with Cadiz. So that is another option there that the Fire have been linked to. So a lot of good players, a lot of high-level, designated player-type level players have been linked with the Chicago Fire just within the last couple of weeks. So this is all great news to have. Now, how are they going to get these guys onto the club? We know MLS has some wonky and restrictive roster rules, but there have been new 2025 roster rule announcements just announced this week that will increase flexibility. So let's read the MLS press announcement and give some reactions to that here. So this was announced on Tuesday the 14th, and all updates were effective immediately. So here are the highlights real quick. MLS clubs can invest an unlimited amount of out-of-pocket funds, cash, to acquire players via trade from within the league. And this is to create additional opportunities for top players to remain within MLS while further incentivizing player development and creating more pathways for MLS clubs to generate revenue on player movement. So since there's no limit on the cash you can spend out of pocket that owners can invest into players now for trades within the league, yeah, you're going to want to really focus in on your academies and homegrowns because they may not break into your first team, but there might be another club out there who's willing to throw some money at you to grab your academy players. So some people have said this is starting to erode the whole kind of like territorial homegrown idea, and that'll allow more movement around MLS in the country. But it certainly does give some incentives. The other change was to the transfer windows. The 2025 transfer windows will see the secondary transfer window shift later to better align with the global transfer market. All MLS clubs will be able to acquire players in the secondary transfer window from July 24th through August 21st of this year. By shifting the transfer window, MLS clubs will have a greater opportunity to acquire top players in the summer ahead of the push to the Audi MLS Cup playoffs. So some more international alignment there. And like we said in the beginning of this show, the primary transfer window is the winter transfer window, January 31st to April 23rd. And then the secondary transfer window, the summer transfer, July 24th through August 21st. Now, here are more details on that unlimited out-of-pocket funds for player trades. MLS clubs may now use an unlimited amount of out-of-pocket funds or cash to trade for players, allowing MLS clubs to acquire talent from within the league without having to use general allocation money, GAM, or other assets, such as super draft selections or international roster spots. Maybe that'll have a trickle-down effect to people investing a little bit more in the draft, since they can just throw cash instead of draft capital. And they also don't have to trade away international roster spots, so they can sign more international players if they're willing to throw cash at some of these trades. This update creates additional opportunities for top talent to remain within MLS while creating another pathway for clubs to generate revenue on player movements and further incentivizes player development, as noted above. Clubs will be allowed to acquire up to two players and trade away up to two players each year for cash. So there is a limit on it. Similar to transfer fees, club may convert revenue generated by these trades to general allocation money, and cash spent to acquire a player via trade will be applied to the player's salary budget charge. So it is going to have salary cap implications. Hopefully then now we see as more clubs start to use this mechanism an increase in the salary cap. Now, when utilizing cash to acquire a player via trade, no other form of compensation may be included in the trade terms. So there are some restrictions there. They don't want people running amok here within the league. And if a player is acquired via a cash trade, if a player acquired via a cash trade will occupy a designated player or U22 initiative slot with the new club, that player must remain a DP or U22 on the new club's roster during the guaranteed term of his contract. So that is another restriction on this cash for players. A new allowance here that they're going to have to stay a DP through their contract. You're not going to be able to pay for a DP level player, then buy them down to a TAM level player, or similarly take advantage of the U22 initiative player and then sign them to a full contract kind of thing. They got to stay that U22 initiative throughout the term of the new contract. Here's a big one that has Chicago Fire fans excited. Second contract buyout. A club may now buy out two guaranteed contracts, including a designated player, each year. These are at the club's expense and may apply to any mutually terminated contracted player or to a contract that remains in effect. So it's not free range. If you mutually agree to terminate a contract with a player, then you may have to use a buyout depending on what their contract had in store. The buyouts may be conducted in season or the off season, and if the buyout is conducted in season, it must be concluded by the close of the secondary transfer window. There you go. There's also an expiration date on general allocation money. They have eliminated the expiration date for GAM, apart from any GAM received as part of the club's decision to opt into the U22 initiative player model. So remember, now rosters, you can have three DPs and three U22s, or two DPs, four U22s, and an extra million in GAM, an extra $1 or $2 million in general allocation money used. But that general allocation money has to be spent within that season, I believe, or that roster year. Previously, any GAM expired after three full transfer windows. Now there's no expiration date on that. So save a little cash. Go for, you know, maybe every couple, 3 years now you can go for that big player. Off-roster homegrown changes, another one that would affect the Chicago Fire absolutely as a club who's investing in their academies. There are more opportunities now for young players in league matches and cup competitions. So off-roster homegrown players, so guys in CF2 or in your academy, can appear in up to six MLS league matches along with unlimited first-team appearances in cup competitions. CONCACAF Champions Cup, Leagues Cup, U.S. Open Cup, Canadian Championship, Cup friendlies, or friendlies, etc. So as you recall, players were able to sign like four-day deals before they had to sign a full like senior team contract. Now you can get up to six appearances with the senior team. Player must be 21 or younger during the calendar year to be eligible for that. And once they move from an off-roster homegrown to the senior or supplemental roster, they can't revert back to the off-roster homegrown position. And as long as they are on their initial MLS contract, they may continue to be an off-roster homegrown, subject to age limitations. So that'll give more younger players the opportunity to play with the first team. That'll give clubs the flexibility to bring up some of these guys to play in cup competition. So you're not burning out the legs of your first team players going from US Open Cup to regular season to Leagues Cup and throughout the course of the year. Wow, there are still two more rules here to go over, everyone. So take a deep breath. Here we go. Outgoing DP loans. If an international club absorbs a DP's player entire salary during a loan period, the MLS club will open that DP slot during the loan period. So essentially, if you get another club to take the contract off your hands, you get the DP spot back. And then the final new rule that was announced, the model declaration for roster construction, like I said, the U22 initiative player model or the DP model. Those are the two ones that are there. You have the opportunity to update your roster construction model at midseason, between July 1st, 2025, and the close of the secondary transfer window. So giving clubs even more flexibility. So maybe you didn't get the DP you wanted, or you weren't going to go after him, so you took the 2DP for U22 model. Now you can change that mid-season. It's like, wait a minute, we've renewed talks with that massively talented designated player that we've looked for. Let's revert to the 3DP model, bring him on. But they can only do that if they spent less than $1 million of the additional general allocation money that was given by using the U22 model. I'm talking really, really fast. If you want to continue the conversation, find me on social media at Glasshouse Soccer. Email me, glasshousesoccer@gmail.com, or go over to mlssoccer.com and look up all the new roster rules. This is going to come into effect more as we see more players signing, as that summer transfer window gets near and clubs are making decisions on how they want to construct their roster. So keep all of that in mind. It's going to be an ongoing conversation as we kind of figure out how this all translates to the practical day-to-day running of a club. Quick reminder, USMNT has a couple friendly matches where you get to see all the young MLS players who got called up to that camp participate in games against Venezuela on January 18th and against Costa Rica on January 22nd. And with that, Fire fans, I want to thank you all for tuning in, for listening. Make sure you go back and check out some of the other videos from opening some of my new 2024 MLS trading cards. Had some good pulls. Got a couple new videos that should be coming out this weekend with some new cards. So I want to thank you all for those who went and viewed those and left me comments there. And with that, I wish you all a great day, and let's go Fire.